This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Short form mobile video has really found its way into our daily habits, and some would say it's an addiction. And it's hard to argue, as it will only continue to grow with the rise of new technologies like 5G. One of them that really rose to stardom in this area is TikTok. And with me today is Donny Ariasta, TikTok's head of public policy for Indonesia, Malaysia and Philippines. Donny, before we dive into what makes TikTok so popular and how are you advocating safety to your users, perhaps a brief introduction about yourself.
Hi, I'm Donny Ariasta. I'm the head of public policy for Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines at TikTok. So what I do is I work together with government and civil society organizations to ensure that TikTok users are protected and they have a positive and safe experience when using our app. And we also do programs together with these partners on how to make the app better.
All right. And Donny, I guess we have to begin with understanding what TikTok actually is, because not everyone, including me, can really explain what TikTok truly is. So what is TikTok?
Yes. So TikTok is a short form video platform. So I think that is really key here. It's short. It allows for video for between 15 seconds to 1 minute. And also, it only cater for video. So those are really key distinction when you compare it to other platforms. So it also allows different types of content. People use it in very creative ways. Some people might heard that TikTok is used for singing and dancing, but that's not everything. We have so many diverse types of content. People show their travel journeys. People use it to show tutorials, how to cook, and some people even use it to teach languages. So it's really a place where people can express their creativity and share information and knowledge in really fun ways.
And because you also work for the head of public policy for various different countries, I guess you also work with government in how they can utilize services like TikTok.
Yeah, definitely. So I work with them. I introduce them to what TikTok is and what it allows them to do, because for the government, it's important for them to be able to reach the millennials and also the Gen Z. This is a key demographic that they want to target to campaign for their programs, their activities. And if you wanted to reach them, TikTok is the right platform to do that, because this is what they use a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And and basically it impressed me that government institutions or even just regular users can use the platform in very creative ways. So, for example, right, we have people like ministers just opening up TikTok account and just give a very formal speech. But also they have like office tours. They show what happened in a meeting. There are also not so serious stuff. The tourism administration around the world, including the tourism office in Penang, for example, they use it to promote their tourist destination. So it's really amazing what they do with the platform.
What about the engagement levels with the different types of content that you have? As you mentioned, TikTok is widely known as one of the apps that you could do lip syncing and all kinds of funny videos around the music industry. But it's doing more than that. But do you see the same kinds of engagement when it comes to educational content or content that actually delivers a higher levels of impact to a younger society compared to just some people would just want to use TikTok just to have a laugh?
Yeah, so it's definitely growing, that part of the more educational use of TikTok. But because we started out only around 3 years ago, and most people predominantly use it for entertainment. I think we still have a long way to go to make our content even more diverse, right? But it's definitely growing. I think when I open my TikTok account every day, I'm surprised at how people use it in so many different ways. So it's definitely not only for lip sync and dancing anymore.
All right. And why do you think has the rise of short form video on mobile has been so huge, not just in this part of the region, but globally as well, and especially amongst the younger Malaysians today?
Yeah, definitely. So the young people, right, including young Malaysians who are very much connected to the internet, we know that almost 100% of them have access to the internet and they access it through their mobile phone. And just because of the nature of the platforms nowadays and the media that they use, their attention span is getting shorter and shorter. I think I read one of the researches that said that the attention span of a millennial is around 8 seconds, right, for a video. That's why we stick with having a 15-second to 1 minute video on our platform. Even for myself, right, when I started to watch a long video, if the first 2 or 3 seconds are not interesting, then I would just switch to another video. So we basically, this format is created to cater what they like.
And what do you think about your own strategy in trying to, I guess, gain more users? We've seen other kind of platforms that are also heavy on video and photo that has, you know, created the rise of influencers or key opinion leaders. Mm-hmm. Does TikTok kind of follow suit in that model, or is it trying to create something different with, getting people to know about TikTok?
Yeah, so influencers very much play a key role. So there's this term that we often use. It's called SYNC. It stands for short form, influencer driven, native, and also co-created. So these are the characteristics of the kind of content that these millennials and Gen Z like. So we talk about how they like short form, and also they really like it when influencers or people who are important to them use it a lot. So including in Malaysia, a lot of the celebrities have started using it. Even people who started out as regular TikTok user and they became very popular on the platform, they sort of become TikTok influencer, right? And these people gain a lot of followers. People are always anticipating their content. So definitely that's one of the key strategy of how we want to grow in this region.
Why do you think you became so popular in such a short space of time? You were talk of the town very quickly, and even until today, people still are talking about TikTok. And you know, you have this two sides of camps: one who are completely in love with TikTok, and the other camp, which is the camp that I'm in, don't understand TikTok. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So perhaps I was in the same camp as you are, Jeff. I used to hear a lot about TikTok, but I don't really understand it. But once I started using it, I understand why people are in love with it. So to answer your question, why it became so popular, I think our focus has always been on improving user experience, right? When people use our app and they like it, they will stay and other people will also join. So that has been our priority. And as we always try to adapt and customize our content according to the local cultures and trends, including in Malaysia. So for example, there are so many challenges. Challenges here meaning campaign, or it's sort of like a program that we created that is really specifically tailored to the market, in this case Malaysia. I mentioned to you about the Penang program, right? It's actually called Experience Penang, where we work together with Penang Tourism Authority to promote the tourism spots in the island. It gained almost 40 million views. There's also a singing competition challenge that we worked together with Warner Music Malaysia. This has more than 21 million views. So that's one of the reasons, I think, because we really try to custom our content in accordance with the local trend.
How can businesses leverage on this? Well, stay tuned. That's next after the break. BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandu, and with me today is Donny Ariasta. He is TikTok's head of public policy for Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. Donny, because you have a large number of younger audiences and also engaging with them, businesses would want to know if they can actually leverage on this.
Yeah, definitely. So businesses always see millennials and Gen Z as their key target market. And I think our content allow them to reach this audience, right? As I mentioned to you, we work a lot with influencers, so that is one way where they could, promote their brands. We just started our monetization journey, so we also will allow ads on our platform. So definitely, this is I would say one of the key channels. If you wanted to reach millennials and Gen Z, TikTok is the go-to channel.
Do you think the younger digital natives are aware of the online safety risk that it has?
Yeah, not all of them are aware, definitely. And that's why we try to do so many things to educate people on how to stay safe, online. I would say our approach is on three prongs, right? First, from the product itself, the app. We have equipped TikTok with so many features that would ensure the users are safe. We have restricted mode. We have a privacy setting where you can choose who you can follow or who can follow you and also who can see your content. It's actually in TikTok, you could not send a picture or video through private message. When there are dangerous content, we put not dangerous, but things that should only be done by professional. We put a label, a warning label. So things like that are from the product side on what we do. Right now, on the policy side, actually we have a guideline, a community guideline that sets what people, what our user can do and cannot do on the platform. And so it's not that you can upload anything on TikTok, right? There are rules. Obviously, things like nudity, pornography, violence, illegal activities are not allowed. And how do we enforce this? We enforce this by having our machine, we call it machine learning, that would look at and review the videos even before they're uploaded. And whenever they violate these guidelines, they would not be able to be uploaded. We also have a team of moderators, people, including in Malaysia. They are Malaysians who speaks the language, the local languages, and sits on this time zone. They would actually review the content 24/7, right? So there are different layers that would ensure that the content that are actually seen by the users are safe. The last part is the education part. That's why we do campaigns and workshops, partnering with local NGOs. We just had an event in February in celebration of the Internet Month. It's called Better Me, Better Internet. We partner with Generasi Gemilang and also Majlis Kanak-Kanak Malaysia. And protect and save the children. The local NGOs. We launch a safety center in Malaysian for Malaysian users. So those are among the many things that we do to ensure our users are safe.
Would you say then that you kind of police the content that goes onto TikTok?
I probably wouldn't call it police, but we would basically ensure that content that are uploaded are safe for our users, and our users could have a positive experience on the platform.
You know, there's pros and cons when it comes to being able or having the ability to express yourself freely and also instantly. You know, could you perhaps, I guess, you know, list down some of the pros of having younger digital natives to be able to express themselves freely, but also the risk that it has in them expressing themselves freely?
Yeah, so I think we're at its core, right? TikTok promotes free and creative expression. It's in the very nature of the platform. You can appear as your real self. You don't have to, you know, over polish your video to appear on TikTok. Everything can be done on your mobile phone. And this focus has a lot of benefits. We grow our community from this, right? And a lot of young people can use this as a platform to express their creativity, to even further develop their talent. They can connect with other young people. So I think these are some of the key benefits. And of course, there are some risks to this. There's always people who try to misuse the platform. They don't use it for the right reasons. People could sometimes try to bully other people. They can target other people online. People can try to upload content that are indecent. And that's why we have those measures that I mentioned to you earlier.
And then there's also talks about, you know, each country has its own kind of sets of laws when it comes to the protection of data. How do you go about with complying the different local laws and regulations for the safety of your users?
Yeah, so that's definitely our key principle. Wherever we are, including in Malaysia, we abide to the laws and regulations, the local laws and regulations. And our the data, the user data, are safe in third party cloud services. They are located in different parts of the world, including in the U.S., in Singapore, and other countries. Basically, we comply with the local laws and regulations.
And where do you see the future of short-form mobile video will go with? You know, we've got new things that's coming on the horizon with 5G, and then there's, you know, higher internet penetration around the world. There's generations that's being, you know, that's born in the world where TikTok is a norm. Where do you see the future of short-form mobile video will go?
Yeah, so this is really exciting. As someone who's, you know, my first cell phone would only allow for text, right? I think I could not imagine how far we've come since that age. And 5G technology would only enable us to do more. So I think the trend is going towards the more immersive experience. So we have moved from focusing on text and then moving on to pictures, and now we're mostly videos. I think the 5G technology, because it allows for better internet connection, it will allow for more immersive experience. The live feature, for instance, this is something that can be done. And also, I think people will use the platform for various different reasons, right? Like I mentioned to you how initially a lot of people only use it for singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. Now we have a more rich content. I think more people connected to the internet, meaning that we can have more diverse type of content, because different parts of society now have access to the internet, and they can also create their own content.
And also, finally, you know, how can parents play a part in their child's digital consumption for TikTok? Because many parents struggle to understand what TikTok actually is. So how can they be a part of this?
Yes, I definitely share the concern. I'm a parent myself of a young child, and I think the key is that we should control how we use or how our children use the internet, right, as well as the digital platform. So if they are to use TikTok, first of all, I would like to just highlight that TikTok is for 13 years and above, and parents, when their children use TikTok, if they're above 13, they can have a number of tools that they can use, right? We have the parental control where the parents can set the settings on their children account, that their children can only use TikTok for a certain number of minutes a day. They can only see certain types of content. So basically, the power is on our hands. I'm actually quite optimistic that we can create positive environment for ourselves and also for our children, even though every day we heard about the misuse of the internet, right? But I think the tools are there. It's in our hands. We can actually make things better.
Donnie, I think I'm going to make the jump and I'm going to try it out and I'll let you know how it goes.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And I hope you'll have a great experience on TikTok.
And that was Donnie Ariasta, TikTok's head of public policy for Indonesia, Malaysia and Philippines, talking about everything you need to know about what exactly is TikTok. My name is Jeff Sandhu and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.